Hey, Go Church family. I'm Elia, and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi, everyone.
And our special guest for this month.
Hi.
I'm
Antoine.
I know and I believe that you have enjoyed Antoine in the last
week. I'm enjoying it.
Yes.
I enjoyed it too.
No, this is very, very good.
Ahlan wa sahlan.
Thank you.
So this month's series, as you all know, and if you don't know, this month's series for us as the Go Church family is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We are digging deeper and deeper into knowing what living in the kingdom of God means, and where do we start to live in the kingdom of God, and where did we move and live there? So,
and it's an important subject. Antoine, you told us it appears how many times in the New Testament? 162?
162, the kingdom.
The kingdom.
The kingdom, the kingdom, yes. Yeah. And around 250 times in the whole Bible.
In the Bible, yeah.
And also 86 times kingdom of heaven specifically. The word kingdom in globally is 250.
So if the Bible talks about it, then we should be talking about it.
Yeah, and actually Jesus talked about it, and he said a couple of times, like, if you're not born again, or like, you cannot receive the kingdom of God, or like, the kingdom of God belongs for such of these. So Jesus mentioned the kingdom of God. So we should know and we should study what is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So the purpose of this month's series is that we want the entire Go Church family, which is us and you, to know that in Christ we have been established into the kingdom of God.
Thank God.
So I have been established, so this is in the past.
Yes.
It's not something that I will be, or I will be established, or I will be moved into. I am in the kingdom of God.
This doesn't happen when I arrive in heaven.
Yeah, this has happened when I am in Christ.
Yes.
And I believe and I know that we all as the Go Church family have been very strong in knowing who we are in Christ, what do we have in Christ, and who Christ is in us because of the last month's series. So that means that you know when you have been established into the kingdom of God. And this is not only where we are going after we die, but where we live from when we are born again.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is in us and must always be operating through us into the world. When we learn how to live from the kingdom of God while we are on earth, we are helping others come into contact with the presence of God and the environment of heaven.
I like that environment.
We don't have to wait to go to heaven to start our eternal life. It starts directly from here.
Yeah, and the point is that the kingdom of God operates to the world through us.
Yes,
it does.
So if I don't put myself into a position to let the kingdom of God be known and seen through me, there is something wrong.
That's right. We're the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So we need to reflect Him.
Yeah.
And He, as in Jesus, He operated from the kingdom of God, so we are too.
Yeah.
He operated in the world, but not of it, and that's what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
And our key scripture is in Romans chapter 14, and where we kind of lift that phrase, the kingdom of God, specifically for this kingdom living series.
Yeah.
Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not rituals, rules, observances, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yes. And so this week, I just wanted us to take some time, especially in the grow groups, and dig into what the Bible says about righteousness. And
I can start with 2 Peter 3:13 actually, and saying, like, by in accordance with His promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home.
So, say that again, 2
Peter. 2 Peter 3:13.
Mm-hmm.
But in accordance with His promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home.
Yeah.
So it's home, it's us. This is the home of righteousness.
And so the theme of righteousness, sometimes it gets a little, first, it's a Bible word, right? And so we think, okay, does this apply to me? What would I have to do to be righteous? And the answer is just be in Christ, right?
It's simple, huh?
And, but I want us to not just be something that we say and assume we know, this is something we always want to ground in the scripture.
Yes.
And so let's actually look at Colossians.
1:22.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the app guy, huh? Having a physical Bible, I'm faster.
You're faster.
You arrived?
Yeah, yeah.
I was there before you.
You in the group, we all wait for each other.
He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him.
Wow. That's true.
Yeah.
And that's true about me.
Yeah.
You have electronic Bible. Do you have that in the New Living Translation? In my translation, it says that he's presenting us before him.
Yeah, I read it in the NLT.
Yeah.
Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault.
Read that again. Without a single fault.
Wow. This is freedom, yeah.
He brought you, he brought me into his presence.
Without fault.
And he's presenting us, how does it say, blameless?
Mm-hmm. Blameless as you stand before him without a single fault.
Now think about that.
I'm dying.
No. So, you know, the kingdom of God, the first thing, Paul says, the first thing you need to know about the kingdom of God is its righteousness. Yeah. So what is righteousness? Well, we could define righteousness a few different ways. Mm-hmm. Right? But how does the scripture orient me and you with the concept of righteousness? The simplest definition is to stand in the presence of God as if sin never existed.
Yeah.
And here Paul said the work that Jesus did, not the work that you did, not the work that I did.
That's right.
The work that Jesus did brought me into fellowship and relationship with God, who is right.
Yeah.
And when he looks at me, there is not a single fault he sees.
So it reflects on us.
Yes.
So the righteousness will be like also from us to others and aiming like God sees us. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's right. And the point, like some people might say, oh, but Pastor Matt, like you were born in a Christian home and like you were raised as a Christian. Maybe you've never did something wrong. But here, if we read in verse 21, Paul or the Bible is recognizing the problem that we were not perfect. So this applies for the people that are not perfect because no one is perfect. And it says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death.
Yeah. He did the work so that you and I can get the reward.
Yeah.
The work was the sacrifice on the cross. The reward is righteousness. Mm. Now, you know, we have to turn over and look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you, Lord.
No. Jesus carried all our sins, the previous ones, the actual ones, and the future ones of all generations, saving us from all this burden.
And it's the work of God, you see. It's not the work of man.
Yeah.
So when Paul says righteousness is an attribute of the kingdom of God, not eating and drinking, in other words, not observing rituals and rules, it gives place for God's work. It removes my work.
actually, I can also look at the eating and drinking thing as acts from the flesh perspective.
Right.
Like if I'm like being righteous in the Lord, everything made by because I'm still flesh. I'm flesh mm-hmm. and spirit.
Yeah.
So it become easier. All other things. Because it's all about the priority.
Yes.
You are in line with the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything becomes easy. I encountering this. I am testifying about it. This is my daily life.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
At workplace. At my church. With my friends. With my surroundings. With my neighborhood. Everyone I can encounter. Even even while being like stuck in traffic, you know.
Yeah.
Usually, before this, I was so angry about their behavior. It's not moving, and started like I don't know, saying bad words. But now I maybe it's fine. I take my time, so I'm relaxing, chilling, waiting for the flow to. What can I do about it? Can I jump, stop my car? What can I do?
You're such an example.
Thank you, Antoine, for challenging.
Exactly.
No, it's all we are still in flesh, we are from this world also, but we are walking in the spirit with the Lord, and this should be reflecting on our daily life.
Yeah. That's exactly matters. Right. Yeah. The righteousness that He has made me,
yeah,
I need to make room for that. One of the things that I do is I remove the emphasis of my works, and I put emphasis on His
so
work.
So how others will be looking at us, because we are, this is also a thing we are carrying. We are representatives of Christ here on earth.
Right.
And we are welcoming other people to come to Jesus to be saved.
Yeah.
And how can, without mentioning any word from our behavior, it reflects this real changer from past, after, before the declaration of Jesus Christ is Lord, and after declaring Jesus Christ is Lord and being saved, we are a new being.
Yeah, new creation.
New creation.
To mix, like what you, Antoine, has just said, that we represent Jesus, and what we have said last week, that we grow to take salvation, to take this like new being, this righteousness, mm-hmm. because we're talking about righteousness, we're taking this righteousness to people. Paul said in the previous verse, in verse 20, he says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us.
We had the whole thing.
We implore you on behalf of Christ. So Paul is saying, like, we're talking to you as if Christ is talking to you. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, in whom we are the righteousness. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we represent Him. We are His ambassadors.
Yes.
When we speak, as if He is speaking, He is speaking. So, and one thing that Pastor Matt says, like some people say, if God is here, if only Jesus is here, He will do something. Like, I'm waiting on God to move. He's God here. Moves when I move.
Yeah.
God speaks when I speak.
Sure.
He does things when I do things.
Amen.
Because He lives in me, and I'm His ambassador. I represent Him in this world. I am His image. I represent Him in my work, in my family, in my surrounding, everywhere I go. I represent Him, and I grow to take this righteousness that I have received by grace and say, hey, Antoine, guess what? There is righteousness that is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Come and take it. Yeah, come and grab it.
Yes.
It reminded me of... also, because many people around, they know me, the old version, I don't want to get back to this, it's irreversible now. I cannot even think about the old Antoine anymore. But anyway, whenever I'm encountering people knowing me from before, and asking me, like, from without saying any, mentioning any word, without, I'm Antoine, whoa. They come to me, you changed? What's the secret behind it? It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come and discover Jesus Christ.
You know, it is one of the, I can tell story after story about this, but there was a person that came to, they came to Go Church. They came to a meeting. You know, I recognized it was their first time there. And they came to me afterwards and said, can I speak to you? I said, sure. And they said, I don't really know anything about church and the Bible, but I know, and they made reference to this one person, I know them. And whatever happened to them, I want it to happen to me.
Lord.
What is that? It's It's righteousness at work. It is the new birth at work.
Yeah.
And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God."
Yes. Yeah.
What do you do with a gift? You receive it with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I can add, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Yeah. That's verse 9. So, you know, it's not, oh, this person is so good, or this person was born in this particular set of circumstances. Yeah. No, it's about what he has done.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He made us stand before him. Let's look at it again, Colossians chapter 1, because I want us to be established in this truth. Okay. This is how, when God looks at you, the God who sees everything, the God who knows everything, when he looks at you, he sees you holy, blameless, and without reproach.
Thank you, Lord.
Or like the New Living Translation says, without a single fault.
Yeah.
Well, now,
is this perfect? Is this perfection?
This is, but here's now, here's why I want to challenge all of us on. Is this how you see you?
This is a tricky question.
Is this, you know, why is this important? Because if I see me.
No, the aim is to look forward.
If I don't see me like this, then I can't do what Hebrews tells me to do.
Yeah. Mm.
Hebrews chapter 4 says that I am to go boldly before the throne of God and obtain grace and help.
Yeah.
But what if he says no? What if I didn't deserve it? What if I didn't? What if I didn't qualify? All those what if questions, all those questions about will God answer my prayer? Will
but
he
actually, this
do
is
it?
The enemy.
Of course.
The salt.
Those thoughts are being inspired by the enemy, but they
raining upon them.
They have space if we don't have a revelation of righteousness.
Yeah.
So Colossians 1:22 then needs to become my identity. My identity card says I am righteous.
Yeah.
My identity card says that God sees me without a single fault.
Yeah.
So completely healed.
Because he sees me in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And if I can see me through his eyes, I'll pray different.
That's right.
And if you act different.
I act
different. You behave different. You say,
that's
right. That's why encountering it, doing this in the concrete situation, to make to make it more practical. So the first reaction, we tend to be moved by the flesh. So if someone is letting us making us angry, let's say, pushing us to the boundary, to the limit, the first thing, restrain from not responding very fast. So when I stop and I think, what would have Jesus behaved in that situation? I will behave the same. Actually, I cut off all these connections, because angriness will be more angriness, and it will be coming a fight. So when this temper, whoever you are, like at a workplace or some colleague jumps onto you and something, so make it like just in a practical example, things I encounter whenever I am outside my lovely family. So not everyone like being saved yet, encountering people that they will receive a call and they will say yes to a call, and that's it, how to behave. So that's why the aim is to look as like Christ.
That's excellent. And it reminds me, you know, when you say, how would Jesus respond in a situation, sometimes, you know, with like that thought might pass, but we don't have to guess. In John chapter 8, we see Jesus placed in the middle of a difficult situation, and we see pressure applied. So in John chapter 8, says verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and he began to teach them. This is starting out like a good day.
Yeah.
Some time in prayer on the mountain. Now he's coming to the temple and he's going to teach. Mm. Verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses, we're commanded to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" Hmm. So what's obvious here? Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's obvious is the fact that these scribes and Pharisees care nothing about the law. They're looking for a way to entrap Jesus.
Right. Yes.
To copy him.
And it's clear that they don't care about the law because they only managed to catch the woman in the act of adultery, not the guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because technically there needs to be two people. And there's only one woman there.
Yeah.
So now there's just outright disrespect and using the law of God to try to punish people.
Mm.
And here, this is what's wrong with religion. When we lose our revelation of righteousness, we try to create rules.
Yeah, that's right. Become trapped within those rules, and it becomes rituals. It's so hard for someone having all those rituals, embracing him, to get rid of this of them that easily. Only through Jesus Christ, saving us from those heavy burdens of rituals, to cast out all the and to break this what we are wearing, like moving by worshiping icons or eating this, not eating that.
See,
there is no time also for prayer. There is a specific time in all. Jesus Christ is Lord anytime.
But in this scenario, all this pressure mounted to now. All eyes, what's he going to say? And that happens, you know, in our daily life where pressure mounts and then people might say, well, how's Antoine going to respond now? What's Aaliyah going to do?
Yeah.
And Antoine, the thing that you said is like training myself not to respond very quickly. Well, it says, verse 6, they were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him.
Yes, that's all what they're looking for.
Yeah. They don't even care. They don't care about the woman. They don't care about the law. They're just looking for a way to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground. And there's been no telling how much speculation about what he wrote. And I can tell you the reason it doesn't say is he's just not answering. Why? Because he doesn't have to prove that he's right to these men.
That's right.
Yes.
His Father sees him holy, blameless, and unreprovable.
Even they don't deserve to be like answered.
And so they're not in charge. All these people demanding questions, they're not in charge.
That's right.
The same thing is true in our life.
Yeah.
A revelation of righteousness orients us differently. It allows us to respond and put a gap between us from like responding in the flesh, like you spit on me, I'm going to spit on you. But instead, he just stoops down and draws on the ground. And verse 7, they persisted in asking him. What does that sound like? Hey, aren't you going to answer us?
What do you think?
Aren't you going to answer us? So then he straightens up and he says, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first one to throw a stone at her."
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yes, it is.
This is amazing for a couple of reasons, but
it brings us to who we are to judge.
Right.
Yeah.
It reveals that when we start throwing rocks at each other, we put ourselves in the crosshairs for someone to throw a rock at me.
That's right.
But the second part, though, is stunning, because in doing this, he did not say to the woman, what you did was okay.
Yes.
At no point in this passage does he
that's right.
does he condone her behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he took away the accusation.
Yes.
The accuser?
Yeah.
Those that were accusing her, he removed the accusation.
Yeah. And the law.
And when he did that, then he told her, now go.
Yes.
And sin no more.
Yeah.
Set her on a new path. And in this simple story is a brilliant picture of what happens to us when we come in Christ. And he makes us righteous.
Yeah.
How? Well, he took the penalty.
Yes,
that's right.
Right? But he also removed the accusation.
That's right.
So now when I stand before the God of the universe, the righteous judge of all the earth, there is no one accusing me.
Yeah.
Because Jesus took the accusation away.
Because we tend also to accuse ourselves first. Because before anyone comes to us and accuses us, we blame ourselves.
Yeah, we used to accuse ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so a revelation of righteousness is critical for the life of a believer to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Why? Because it is my approach to him and how he sees me.
Yeah. And that I'm innocent.
Yes.
And that the accuser have no words against me because I've made whole through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So he comes, he's going to speak. His words mean nothing. They have no value. They have no power. They have nothing in them.
Yes.
We usually say that words are container and the word of God is container and they carry power in them. I say the words of the devil, the words of the accuser are containers, but they are empty.
Empty
they have
containers.
Nothing.
That's
they
exactly
right.
Jesus was
them.
Still alive and he forgave the woman's sin and asked her to not sin again. And what if when after Jesus shedding all his blood on the cross, we are free from all sin? Even if we are righteous in the Lord, walking with him, sometimes we miss the mark. But the Lord is so merciful. He loves us so much.
Yeah.
He look at the best of us standing in front of him. So that's why we are always clean. It doesn't mean that we know that he will be forgiving us to go and we cannot. Because now I'm a new creature. I cannot go and on purpose do what is wrong or put myself in with some wrongdoers. Sometimes the sin can be like, I don't know, an act of not my identity anymore. But the Lord is, like I'm saying, so loving, caring.
Yeah.
And which, you know, you bring up a good point because though we are made righteous, and that is, I'll never be more righteous than I am right now.
That's right.
1 John 1:9 addresses the situation that you talk about specifically. 1 John, the first chapter of 1 John and the second chapter deal with this specifically. But verse 9 says, if we sin. Let's actually look at it. This is part of having a revelation of righteousness. Our identity in him is understanding his role and the power of the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful.
And just.
Now, before we read any further, who did John write this letter to? Mm-hmm. He wrote it to people who are already in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. All believers.
He wrote it to believers.
Our situation.
and he says to the believers,
if we confess
our sin, he is faithful and righteous.
He's so righteous to us,
Even if I fail to be faithful and I fail to act in righteousness, he doesn't fail.
Yeah, he remains faithful.
He remains faithful and righteous to do what?
To forgive.
To forgive our sin and
purify us.
To cleanse or purify us from all unrighteousness.
We are kept righteous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the revelation of righteousness is central to kingdom living, to living in the kingdom of God. Why? Because it is how God sees me. It is how I see me, and it is how I respond to those around me.
The more in practical ways, the more we are encountering missing sometimes the mark and keeping on, the less we will be missing the mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about like practicing.
And renewing our minds.
Right. And so in talking about making it practical, which I really appreciate you bringing that up, in Romans 5, in the Grow Groups this week, I really want us to consider the two men in Romans. And, you know, we talked last week about the Bible is one book. It's one story. It's one book. And the Romans and really the gospel presents a man in two contrasts.
Yeah.
And so Romans 5, I want us to dig into that. But this, you know, it's too good not to read the first two verses. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith. That word justified, it's a legal term.
Yeah.
This is an action that has happened not because of something I've done. It has happened to me.
Yeah.
That action is a removal of guilt and accusation. A removal of guilt and accusation.
Yeah. We're talking, we have peace with God. So at the point in time, people were not at peace with the Lord.
No.
After the coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
This is already, this is like a marking point. Yes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then through him, through whom also we have obtained and are introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God.
Thank you, Lord, for being in the new covenant.
Amen.
Yes.
This, and you see here, I like the way this reads, our introduction by faith. How did this happen? Faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Faith that what he did is enough for me. And what does that introduce me into? A standing place of grace.
Yeah.
I can add victory to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're standing in the place of grace. That grace ensures victory.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because it delivers his victory to me.
Yeah.
And really, this is what I'm excited for all of us in our grow groups to kind of dig into this, go through the whole chapter, make this discussion. We will arrive there to back to 17, reigning in life.
Yeah.
Reigning in life springs out, flows out from a revelation of righteousness.
Righteousness, yeah, that's right. That's right. Because as Antoine, I believe, said in the beginning, or Pastor Matt, that righteousness is our identity. So I have been transformed. So righteousness became my identity. So today, Antoine is called Antoine the Righteous. Antoine, the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
This became his identity. So usually people, how they reign, like a child of king, he reigns because of his identity.
That's
because
exactly right.
He is a child of king. I cannot train as a child of king if I'm not a child of king. Mm-hmm. So I need identity. I need to be related to this king. So I reign because I belong to God. Yeah. I have became a child of God. As we read last month in John 1, the Bible said that to those who believed in him, God gave them the right to become children of God.
Yes.
So I am a child of God.
Yes.
I can reign in life as a child of God in the same way my Father reigns, in the same way God reigns in this world.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
And as we all said, like, because we said, like, confession and speaking and everything, even if I, so this is my confession about myself. This is, and the faith of God is faith that speaks, a faith that call things which be not as though they were. So I declare things, I speak into things, as Pastor Matt will say, even if there is no physical evidence to what I'm saying, I just keep on saying and repeating the same thing that I'm saying about myself, about my friends, about my church, about everyone, about the people that I don't like, about the people that they don't like me. I say what the Bible says about them. I declare the word of God over them, because I know that my words are containers that are full of power that can transform their lives.
It all starts with the word.
If you're one of the like two people on the planet that don't like Aaliyah, I don't know what to tell you. But that was so good what you shared. I want to just kind of wrap this up by saying the reason why I want all of us to have such a strong revelation of righteousness is it unlocks all of the promises for the righteous in Scripture. And Psalms and Proverbs are filled with promises for the righteous. If I start now, then this will be a 3-hour. But I mean, you can go through all of these promises that belong to the just. I've been justified.
Yeah.
To the righteous. I have been made righteous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to just kind of finish our discussion here in Matthew chapter 6. You know, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is all about kingdom living.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 6, he wraps up in verse 33. He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What flows out of a real revelation of righteousness is kingdom living. And kingdom living is when the things, read what it is, what these things are. These are natural things that we need. These things are added to us. Why? Because we're ruling and reigning in the righteousness that Jesus gave for us.
And this is beauty itself.
Amen.
Being in the kingdom of the Lord.
that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Well, I'm enjoying our discussion.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to next week.
Yeah.
But if you made it this far in your day, no one else has told you, we want you to know.
We love you.
We love you, and we are praying for you.
God bless you.